Too early, prayer.
Wait, what about me? Whoa.
So. Wow, that sounds terrible. I wish I could be doing something for you during this difficult time. Just, I'm drawing a blank. That's a really big decision. Can you hold on a sec? Thanks. Yeah, sure, I'll marry you.
Welcome to Bible study. Before we begin, my philosophy is really that before you start anything important in life, that you should always begin with snacks.
Yeah!
I'm not gonna lie, that one hurt a little.
Come get snacks, guys!
I knew you'd come around. Better late than it.
Sweet, I found it.
Seriously? The Game Boy? Who even still has those?
A little bit of a parody there. Hope that your lives aren't that prayerless. But sometimes it can get that way, can't it? Well, have any of you ever been given greater access to a location in your life? Given more privilege or responsibility? Anybody? Like, you started in a job, and then you were given more access to a certain, maybe, aspect of that location than you were when you first started? Anybody? Yeah? Probably a lot of different people, right? For the younger set, how many of you have played video games where you actually get, as you conquer different levels, you get to, go on to the next level, right? And you get greater and greater challenges. Well, I was thinking about that this week, and I was thinking about my own life, and when I was in Bible school, I had the privilege of making a little bit of money with a very large church in Calgary, Center Street, by doing security and by doing janitorial stuff. That was a great responsibility. They started off by giving me a few sets of keys to a few rooms, and they gave me more sets of keys, and then more sets of keys, and then I had access to every single room, every single office, every single part of the facility, and even had the code for the door. We think of prayer like that, even just a little bit, that as we pray, that, and even for all of us, that we have been given access to the Holy of Holies, and we've done nothing to deserve it. Does that humble you? We can call on God when we're combining, when we are wherever we are, on the road, in business, in the midst of a meeting. We can go to the throne room to receive grace and mercy. Anywhere. And we didn't deserve it because of what Jesus did for us. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that a great privilege that we can hear the mind and have the mind of God revealed to us no matter where we are? Wow. Let's talk. Let's go to the throne room. You guys want to go to the throne room with me right now? You want to go to the throne room with me, church? Sure? Oh. I might as well just say amen and we can go home. Do you want to go to the throne room of grace in heaven right now and talk to God? Yes. Woo! There we go. We need to get excited. Prayer is exciting. It's not just some sort of, humdrum, well, God help me, and then we're going to leave. Let's go. Lord Jesus, You are so awesome. We can never thank you enough. We can never talk to you enough about what you did that day on Calvary. That in Claire's home, Alberta, at Faith Community Baptist Church, we can come into the Holy of Holies because of what you did. We call it prayer. You know that. We can be open to hearing what you have for us, the revealing of the mind of you, O Heavenly Father. You want to reveal truth to our innermost parts today. You have been revealing truth to us. You're revealing truth to our kids, to our youth, and you're going to reveal truth through Pastor Matt tonight. Thank you for that. Thank you for the privilege that we have to come to you, and that you would help me, O Lord Jesus, to encourage all of us to have enthusiasm to want to enter that place in new and fresh ways and in the ways that we've known all of our lives, but that there would be a renewed sense of vision and desire to pray within our church. Because without prayer, the rest of our key result areas mean nothing but just words on a page. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to 1 Thessalonians, a very familiar passage to us today. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. Some of you maybe haven't memorized. Some really short ones. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Well, before we get into Paul, I want to bring us back again to Christ. Just some stats for us to think about. The temple in Jerusalem was about 30 cubits high. Read that measurement in 1 Kings 6:2. And then Herod built a temple at a height of 40 cubits. These measurements are according to the writings of Josephus, first century Jewish story. There is uncertainty as to the exact measurement of a cubit, but it is safe to assume that the veil, the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple, was nearly 60 feet high. That's really high. And approximately, there's no verification of this, 4 inches thick. 4 inches thick. The book of Exodus teaches that this thick veil was fashioned from blue, purple, and scarlet material and fine twisted linen. We read these words in Luke 23, verses 44 through 46. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. This was a pivotal moment, folks, in our history. The privacy of worship in Judaism was broken. Think about that for a minute. We can't even get our minds wrapped around it. I haven't talked to all of you, but I don't know if any of you have Jewish heritage or have any connection to that type of worship. But even modern-day Orthodox Jews don't worship in the temple because there is no temple. Right? They go to the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. We really don't have a context in our modern day that really connects us to this other than reading the scriptures. We can see pictures. We can take virtual tours. Logos Bible Software has one of those. But it still isn't the same. We can go to Jerusalem. We can fly over to Israel and look and see. But folks, the temple's curtain was torn in two. That is an essential symbolic thing that happened at Calvary that changes the communication between God and man forever. Forever. Are we awake this morning? Forever. Worship changed forever at that moment. Because of Christ, we gained access to the throne room. I can talk about principles of prayer. I can talk about things that we can learn and do and the five ways to get a better prayer life. But none of that matters except for this. This is the essence of Christian prayer at the very root. And folks, I am the first to admit I take it for granted. We all take this passage for granted. We focus on the cross, which, yes, we should. But what about the curtain? Folks, we serve Almighty, awesome, living Christ who is interceding for us at the right hand of God right now. He's gained access for us. I encourage you to read the whole chapter of Hebrews 10. But we read this. The veil was symbolic of Christ himself as the only way to the Father, John 14:6. This is indicated by the fact that the high priest had to enter the Holy of Holies through the veil. Now, Christ is our superior high priest, and as believers in his finished work, we partake of his better priesthood. We can now enter the Holy of Holies through him. Hebrews 10:19 and 20 gives us this promise. We have confidence to enter the most holy place. We have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. What a beautiful picture. Beautiful picture of Christ broken for us. We celebrate that the first Sunday of every month, right? But we need to celebrate it every day, every moment of every day. Mom and Dad, when your kids are acting out and you're having a rough time, you don't have to have some sort of ritual. You can just call out to God, and in the midst of the mess, in the midst of all that there is there, you can go to the Holy of Holies. Isn't that a wonderful picture? Wonderful picture of what God has done through Jesus Christ. Farmers, when your tractor breaks down, when you're having issues, and you just want to throw the hammer at something, maybe you already have, you can go to the Holy of Holies. Right there, greasy hands, greasy body and all. Isn't that wonderful? Business leaders, when you're coming up against a great challenge to grow your business, or things are failing, things are falling apart, whatever it may be, you can go to the Holy of Holies right in the middle of your business. Wow. That should humble us. That should give us perspective that we serve a Savior who not only bridged the gap that was created by sin, that for years, thousands of years, had to be bridged by the blood of bulls and goats, the ashes of a heifer, all the different symbolic things that the Old Testament talks about. Now that one man could go in to the Holy of Holies once a year. Now all of us have that privilege because of what Jesus did for us. I want us to soak in the enormity of that. Can we soak in the enormity of what that means to us? Because when we soak in the enormity and the theological richness and the orthodoxy and orthopraxy of what that means for us in our day and age, very right now, it should change the way we pray and how often we pray. Amen? We should not just have trite prayers. And I'm as guilty as the next person of having a trite prayer. We go about our business and then we say, God bless this. Shame on us. Shame on us for trying to put a rubber stamp on what we think is what God wants. And it might be, for all we know, But how do we know if we don't listen? How do we know if we don't come before the throne of grace every moment? We have this as a key result area, number one, coordinated prayer. What does that mean to us? Is it just a title? We have access to our Creator through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because of the temple curtain being torn in two. That needs to revolutionize our communication with our Savior, our Lord. It needs to revolutionize how we pray. It needs to help us to pray continuously, to be in constant communication with our Heavenly Father. At times, our prayer lives may look something like this poem. Pastor Donna Elm had it in her article. It wasn't original with her. There is no author, but I want you to just think about the words of this poem. I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish, I didn't have time to pray. Troubles just tumbled about me and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided. Why, child, you didn't knock. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on gray and bleak. I called on the Lord for the reason. He said, you didn't seek. I woke early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish, but I had to take time to pray. Is our business so much more important than God's? And if it is it really what we need to be doing that day? Think about that. Is what you have planned more important than what God has planned? Maybe it's the same thing, right? We need to be first asking, first seeking, first knocking. Not as an obligation, but because we love Him. Those of you who are married, you say hello to your wife in the morning? You talk to her a little bit? Certainly hope you do, right? You need to talk to your spouse a little bit, or at least some point during the day. If you don't, things are going to start going south pretty quick. Same thing with our relationship with God. We don't talk to Him. We know that things aren't going to work. Our Heavenly Father has promised us the Holy Spirit. We read this in the Gospel of Luke. For those who ask, seek, and knock. For earthly fathers should give us good gifts, it says there. How much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? What is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? That's a whole other sermon series. But the Holy Spirit is essential in prayer. He's given us His Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to reveal to our hearts, to our minds, who we are in Christ. What that looks like. Our identity. Oftentimes we forget who we are, don't we? And then we go about our business and things aren't as fulfilling as they could be. Folks, we need prayer for our faith as much as we need breath in our lungs. Amen? We need prayer for our faith as much as we need breath in our lungs. And the only way the church, any church, the church in the world goes forward is through prayer on its knees, literally and figuratively. Having prayer as the number one key result area in our church or our vision is very important. Alfred Lord Tennyson had this to say about prayer. More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. I think there's a lot of truth to that statement. More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. How many of you would be bold enough to raise your hand to say that you had a family member at some point, a parent or grandparent or cousin or aunt or uncle, who prayed for your salvation? Yeah, look at that. More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. How many of you were given an idea for a business or given something as you prayed? Yeah. Amen. Thank you. Yeah. prayer is powerful. It changes things. Amen? We had Curtis stand up here last week and boast about the men who pray for him. Right? You wouldn't want anyone else praying for you. Well, I pray for you. Prayer is powerful. Prayer changes things because we can enter the Holy of Holies on behalf of others, on behalf of ourselves. So our key result area, coordinated prayer, says this: all our ministries within the congregation and beyond will be supported by an enriched church-wide prayer ministry. Supported by an enriched church-wide prayer ministry, consisting of current prayer opportunities and new prayer initiatives. So what are some of the things? Just to, as a practical outworking, certain things, I may have forgotten some. My apologies if I have. We have a couple of prayer chains with email and phone that have been working for a number of years now. We thank you to those who help with that. Get the prayer needs out there. As was mentioned earlier through the announcements, we have a prayer request box and use that every Sunday. We have pre-service prayer. People get together and pray before the service. We have prayer in small groups, as mentioned earlier. You know, the senior men's group takes half an hour, from 9 to 9:30, every Wednesday morning for prayer. Wonderful, wonderful opportunities. And if I was to hand the mic over and to have you guys share some of the prayer or answers to prayer from those different avenues in the church, we'd be here all day. Amen? Healings have happened. Families have been transformed. Jobs have been had and been given, along with so many other things I can't even mention here. And just the joy of being able to pray for one another in the church. Isn't it a joy to pray for one another? Just to be able to have someone come to you and say, let's pray together. Let's seek the Lord together. Let's go to the throne of grace together. What a wonderful thought. Powerful for us today. Prayer is corporate, but prayer is also personal. I've been recently reading a very interesting book. I highly recommend it. It's going to come to the church as a copy for all of us to read. We might get two copies. But our good friend down the road in Lethbridge, Professor Reginald W. Bibby, has put out a brand new book, along with two Ambrose professors, Joel Thiessen and Monetta Bailey, called The Millennial Mosaic: How Pluralism and Choice Are Shaping Canadian Youth and the Future of Canada. And there's a whole chapter on God and religion, and stats mixed in with a somewhat of a fictional narrative. So it's not just all heavy numbers. But I bring one set of stats for us on prayer for all generations. How many of you, or how many of them, they ask the question, how many of you pray privately? 33% of millennials, those are born from 1986 to 2005, pray private. 33% of Gen Xers, those born between 1966 and 1985, pray privately. 41% of boomers, those who are born from 1946 to 1965, pray privately. And 47% of pre-boomers, those born before 1946, pray privately. Well, kind of not very encouraging stats, are they? These stats are super current because this book just came out. It was published in June of this year. So I encourage you to look into that. It's very interesting. It's sad, isn't it, to think of that? And maybe some people, you know, you see the stats are maybe rigged by the question that was asked, and there's lots of different things that factor into the answers that people give, and I would agree with you on that. But overall, not many generations pray. And we wonder why the church is the way it is. Sometimes when we pray, it can often seem one way. right? Just a one-way street. Or maybe we just feel like we're bringing our grocery list every day to God. And prayer is meant to be a dialogue, right? Prayer is meant to, it's not just Joseph talking all the time, blah, 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 blah. God wants to have a conversation with us, right? And we're going to have coordinated prayer. We first need to have it coordinated within us. That God would, it's two ways, not just us talking. How many of us have sat and listened to God? Some may say, oh, wow, this is a little out of my comfort zone, Pastor. Never heard the voice of God before. That's okay if you haven't heard the voice of God. Yeah? Yeah? He speaks through his word, doesn't he, Larry? Yeah? That's right. Yeah, he speaks. Yeah? But some people haven't heard his voice. And we need to be hearing his voice in prayer. I want us to take time to do that right now. Because he speaks through his word, but he also speaks not against his word, but outside of his word. You know that? God speaks outside of his word, never contrary to his word. I want us to hear the voice of God. I want us to be able to move forward. If we're going to have a vision for this church, it's going to be more than just six key result areas on a page. We're going to disciple. How are we going to disciple? Okay, we can fire a bunch of books at people and ask them to read, but it's just going to be empty knowledge. We need to hear from the throne room of grace through the word of God and through the voice of God. We can read all the books on discipleship. We can read all the books on leadership in the world, and it's not going to do a thing of good for this church. Do we want to see these seats filled? Do we want to see this wall knocked down? And do we want to see expansion in this church? Do we? Do we? We need to hear the voice of God. We do. I'm passionate. I'm sorry if I'm trying to give people a heart attack or anything like that. I hope I didn't do that. But God is just as passionate about his church at Faith Community Baptist Church, I want to say, as I am. And he wants to grow that passion in each and every one of you. But we need to be listening to hear that voice. Be listening. So, I'm going to push your comfort zone right now. Because I've had my comfort zone pushed a little bit through this practice. Because I don't want to just be a talking head here, just spouting off these things, which is, it's good. But I want you to do it too. Okay? Are you ready? Too bad if you're not. Okay? We're going to do something right now that may make you feel a little uncomfortable. It's called breath prayer. Maybe some of you are aware of it. Breath prayer is an ancient Christian prayer practice dating back to at least the 6th century. Historically, it is associated with the Eastern Church, particularly Greek and Russian Orthodox churches. Known as the Jesus Prayer, or Prayer of the Heart, early practitioners would repeat the rhythm of a certain truth statement out of Scripture often, like, Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy, or Jesus, have mercy. I'll give you a little guidance here, and then we're going to try to do this together. So perhaps the most famous breath prayer is the Jesus Prayer, which we've just talked about. There's other ways that you can do this. In you, Lord, I put my trust. So you breathe in, and you breathe out. In you, Lord, I put my trust. Breathe in. In you, Lord, I put my trust. Oh, Lord, I'm yours. My Lord, my God. Help me understand your ways, Lord. Whatever that may look like. I found it helpful, just as my own personal breath prayer practice, is I receive and think about a truth. Maybe it's a scripture that you want to base your life on, or that you have based your life on. I receive the truth of John 3:16. And I release the lie that I'm unloved by God. That makes sense to you, right? As you breathe in, I receive the truth of God's word in my heart and mind. And for some of you, this may seem really awkward, may seem a little weird, you know, and that's okay, because we're just learning these things. But this is at the essence of, I think, what Paul is trying to talk about to us in the passage that I read at the very beginning. Pray continuously. If we see prayer as our very breath, the very breath of our faith that feeds our faith, because we're talking to the one who has given us faith, then it will just come as naturally as breathing. So, for the next 2 to 5 minutes, I want us to take just some time and close your eyes if you have to, or leave them open, whatever works. And just breathe in. Breathe out. Remember to breathe, though. Okay? And just breathe in. If it helps you to say, I receive the truth of Psalm 23. Whatever scripture that you choose. And I release that I am worthless, hopeless, helpless. Just take some time. Father, I thank you for the releasing, for the receiving of your truth that's been happening the last few minutes. Burdens that have been laid down, for the clarity that has been received. Father, may this be an Ebenezer moment for us as a church. But as we allow you to coordinate the communication with us, that we receive your wisdom, your truths, as we stop and listen. Father, the thoughts that may be going through some people's minds, Father, may I pray that you are implanting those thoughts. Maybe some heard your voice during this time for the first time. I thank you. Father, maybe some were just really awkward and wanted to leave this place because of what silence means at times. Father, wherever each person here is at, that we would all be drawn by your Holy Spirit, closer, closer. The image that you want to produce, are producing in us, drawing us back. Please, Lord, please, for the sake of a world out Claire's home that desperately needs people who are living, breathing conduits of prayer. Oh Lord, please help us. When we go out on our own, it's just a figment of what could really be. For too long, Father, most of what your church has done is just a figment of what you intend. Just a shadow. Oh Lord Jesus, we want the reality of your truth to bear upon all of our minds and hearts, so that the world will see the church as it should be, without spot or wrinkle, faithful, true, loving, grace-filled. Oh, Father, filled with vision from the throne room of grace, please, Father, we desire that. Oh, please, Father. impart that to your people, to the leaders of this church, and to the lay people of this church alike. So that when people, when we walk amongst the people of Claire's home, they would say, there's something about that person I'm attracted to. Not just because we're nice people, which is good, but because we've been transformed by the grace of Jesus Christ. Empowered, emboldened by the Spirit of truth to walk out and to share the gospel, share the hope that we have with gentleness and respect. Share the reason for the hope that we have, gentleness and respect. Oh Lord, please, please, Jesus, we beseech you, we come before you, desiring to be filled so that we can empty ourselves among those who so desperately need filling. Help us to see the pathway in which you would have us to go as a church, to see the steps that you would have us to take in order to become the church that you desire, the body of Christ that you desire us to be. Oh Lord Jesus, thank you that you are here in our midst, desiring deeply to draw us to yourself, reveal more of who you are to us. May we not too quickly slip away from this moment, slip away in our minds, thinking of other things. But may we focus. Help us, Lord Jesus. We are, our flesh is weak. The Spirit is willing, as you said of your disciples, but the flesh is weak. Help us not to fall asleep physically or spiritually. Father, wake us up. Wake us up to the reality of who you are and what you want to do through us. That you would be our very breath. We would pant after you, as the psalmist says, as deer pants after water. Oh Jesus, please, please help us. Help us to seek after you, and that you would reveal to us great and unsearchable things that we do not yet know. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You want to reveal your will to us. You want to reveal your truth to us that is found in your word. You want to speak to us truths that align with your word that are not in your word. You want to speak to us about the image you want to form in us. You want to speak to parents about how to parent better. You want to speak to business leaders how to run their businesses better, how to show the gospel through parenting, through business mindsets. You want to talk to our seniors, Father God, about how to pass the torch of faith, the legacy of faith, on to the next generation. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Please speak. We want to hear your still small voice. You may be speaking to someone right now about unforgiveness, about bitterness and envy, about a relationship that is broken. Father, your word is very clear that we do not forgive others, you do not forgive us, and you don't hear our prayers. Oh, Father, please. There is unforgiveness in this church. There is envy, bitterness, resentment that is bottled up, preventing people from hearing you. Release, I pray, Jesus. Them to say yes to you, to release that bitterness, to release that burden. Nothing is too heavy for you, Father. Father, for those who have released unforgiveness and bitterness and envy, strife, those who have yet to do so, remind them that you want to fill them with joy always. And thankfulness in all circumstances. And you who call us are faithful, and you will do it. We can trust you completely, as you have opened the way for us. We are in the Holy of Holies right now. Talking to our friend, talking to our Savior, our Lord. Jesus. Jesus, your encouragement, our message that many of you sensed to be prayed for scripture. Yeah.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Amen. 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 Anybody else? Or song? Yes. Thank you for it. Wonderful. God has ideas. Some of them are maybe stirring in your heart right now. Ideas about where you see ministries in this church that maybe have never been, or ones like coordinated prayer, new prayer initiatives. What does that look like? Maybe some of you are just wrestling with something personally. Ask Gerald team. Come and sing the river. Make this be a time where you give your thoughts to him. If you're wrestling with something, give that to him. If you have something like what was shared, even a song, or maybe you would like to sing as Mary did, please. Or if you have an idea, come talk to me. And I want to make this time special. The elders that are here, just want you to know that they're here to pray for you. I'm here. Matt's not here, but he'd be willing to pray for you. If you want something personal, and it's really private, you need to talk about it more than just here, please just tap me on the shoulder. I'd be more than willing to pray with you in my office or somewhere else. But if you just need to release something, you need to cry, you need to work through things, you need to be aware. Just want to encourage us that God is moving here this morning. God is doing a work. We have entered the Holy of Holies. And I don't want to leave this building the same. Do you? We want to leave this building changed, renewed, with a new focus. So this is a holy time, place where we want to do business with our Savior. So if you feel like you need to leave, by all means, leave. Leave the fellowshipping out for the fellowship hall, the foyer. And just, you need to do business with God. Just by yourself, sit. But I'm available here at the front. Dave Massey will make himself available. Gerald's on the guitar, but he's going to minister to us that way. We need prayer, please.